The Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Oh, yeah. It came out of the sky, and then everybody wanted a piece of it. The president wanted it, the Pope wanted it, the FBI wanted it, the CIA wanted it, the farmer wanted it, and the man that saw it fall out of the sky wanted it. We're here this morning talking with Dr. Sky, and I want to go now, Dr. Sky. We've talked about Beetlejuice. Yep. We've talked about the meteor event that's probably left, hopefully, a little debris field somewheres. In Yavapai County. I don't know what temperature that product must be when it lands, but I would start looking for little brush fires.
You know, it's possible. There have been instances where that has happened, but I guess we're very fortunate that a lot of these meteors, like the one we talked about in the White Mountains, apparently they cooled quick enough that they were lucky enough to be found. These tiny particles still amaze me, Rosie. It's amazing how those researchers could find something that tiny in such a vast area of open land. It's incredible.
It must be a hoot to be out on those scouting missions. Well, talk about scouting missions. What's this article I read in the last 10 days? Someone is now confirming they're receiving regular radio signals in a regular pattern from a source unknown in deep space. What's that about?
Well, Rosie, this is an amazing thing in astronomy. It seems with all the high technology, a radio telescope in British Columbia has now confirmed that there is a pattern to something in astronomy called a fast radio burst. And here's what this is in the simplest terms. There are transient radio pulses that come out of the universe. They're all over the sky. And this is something within the last 10 years that astronomers have been detecting.
Oh.
But this particular fast radio burst is coming from a galaxy, they believe, 500 million light years away. And its true source, the progenitor of this, is really unknown. But this is what the smartest minds think. Out of this particular blast, it's like if you had a lighthouse and that beacon is swinging around in a foggy sky. You see, of course, like a laser, it points as it rotates.
Yes.
There are objects in space called magnetars. What are these? These are neutron stars. These are tiny, super compact, beyond our wildest imagination. If you had a spoonful of neutron material, it would weigh as much maybe as an aircraft carrier or a large super skyscraper. But what's happening here, these amazingly powerful magnetic fields, they're spinning so fast, and nobody understands the physics behind this. One beam that's sent out in space theoretically has more energy in that 1 millisecond burst than a whole galaxy puts out in thousands and millions of years. So this is amazing.
Wait. Stop right there. Wait. Could you repeat that for me, please?
All righty.
Holy cow.
In a millisecond.
A millisecond.
Released in a millisecond. The energy released from these particular objects that are behind the door, behind the curtain of fast radio bursts, more than likely have more energy than an entire galaxy could release. You know, we're talking billions of stars in a short period of its lifetime. And the problem here is, what is it? But now, this is to answer your question. We're seeing a 16-day repetitive signal. Now, people can check. You go to YouTube and you just look at listen to the audio of fast radio bursts. It is kind of eerie. Now, one, is it theoretical that there is life out there? Of course, obviously. I believe that strongly, and no time to talk about it today, of course. But this is something interesting. We've never seen a repetitive pattern. It'll go a few days, it'll stop maybe for 12 days, then it comes back in 16 days with a singular type of a pattern. Well, who are we to say that maybe that's not some sort of intellect behind that or some intelligence? That's amazing. And maybe if it's not, just imagine that type of energy released from something in space. It really defies the laws of physics. It totally is amazing, Rosie, that we're even knowing and discovering these kind of things in the galaxy. So they may be more common than we think, but because of the great technology, Why are we hearing about more meteors and asteroids? The technology gives us the ability to image this or track this. Radio telescopes. But now we have another subject of controversy with SpaceX, and I'm a big fan of it. They're launching so many Starlink satellites that that's great for the internet around the world to lower the cost. I'm in favor of anything that, you know, provides jobs in the space arena. But the radio astronomers are now concerned that these objects may be allegedly up in the future to 42,000 of these Starlink satellites. That might interfere with their imaging of objects like receiving signals. And the observer, the visual astronomers that are tracking with giant telescopes, are seeing smears across their imaging from so many of the Starlinks. But it's an amazing subject, Rosie. It really is. It's just totally, yeah.
Do we have any guess of how many man-made objects are orbiting the Earth right now?
Good question. The answer I'll give you is well over 10,000. Why am I not more specific? Because they drop out, they go, and they move in constantly. SpaceX, you got to salute them. This is they've launched 80 missions so far. This is great. They've done the impossible. They've lowered the cost of getting to space. And the old threshold was, how do you lower the cost per pound? In other words, add your weight, folks out there listening, to $1,000 per pound, and that's probably theoretically what it would cost to launch yourself into space. But Elon Musk and SpaceX and Jeff Bezos with Blue Origin, they're trying to lower the cost to get to space, which they're doing a good job. But the problematic thing is, the answer, Rosie, is thousands and thousands of objects are put up in space yearly, and it's going to be a very crowded area, to say the least. And from the military side, the American government, obviously with the new Space Force under President Trump, there's stories about space being the next military frontier. We know that that could be a battlefield. It's not something that people don't think about seriously. But on a brighter note, I just wanted to remind the listeners of the show that we've got two events, Rosie, that are coming up here. March the 14th at Lost Dutchman State Park. That's our give back to the community, 7 p.m. Come on out. We bring out the telescopes, the big guns, as we call them, and get to see things. We get a great response. And then, of course, the beautiful Dolly Steamboat. We do that dinner cruise on the last Sunday of March the 29th. Obviously, check with the Dolly Steamboat for the Dr. Sky cruise. And Rosie, I just want to remind people, I know it's so, I'm so proud to be on your show and this radio station with the Dr. Sky Show, 3 a.m. Saturdays. And they can go to thektar.com. I'm proud of this. And everybody out there who wants more information, just go to ktar.com to the Dr. Sky blog. We've been doing that for over 3.5 years. And current articles that people can check. We give you the ability to download a free star chart. You can find the satellite page up there and know and be the smartest person, right, Rosie, in your neighborhood, of knowing what satellites are coming. Let's say you have a barbecue going on and you want to entertain your guests. Just tell them in 10 minutes the space station's coming from over there.
Yes.
You know what? They'll go, wow, you have magical powers. But, you know, it's so fun to be doing this with you, Rosie, and your family. I really appreciate your kindness and your generosity in having me.
Anytime I have you on the show, I have to get up a half hour early and do brain calisthenics just to make sure I'm awake.
Well, just remember this one. If you're thinking in terms of the speed of light in miles per hour, like I say, joking, if you ever get pulled over by a law enforcement officer, a man or a woman, and you ask them why they pulled you over and they said you were speeding, well, tongue-in-cheek, he could say, well, officer, ma'am, sir, do you know what the speed of light in a mile per hour is? And they'll go, why? Tell him it's 670 million miles an hour, and I wasn't going that fast. Hopefully you don't get two tickets out of that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And these radio signals, you trust the sources that are detecting these? I mean, this isn't Russia trying to impact our elections, is it?
No, Rosie, and that's even funnier. But no, there's a funny one to end on. Radio astronomers were also detecting some strange signals that had a repetitive sequence. And guess what they found out it was? This is no joke. They found out downstairs in the cafeteria area, they were actually picking up the signal from the microwave oven. And that's not a joke.
Somebody's burrito lunch.
Oh, man. Well, if we've currently got 10,000 plus or minus man-made objects orbiting the Earth, and Elon Musk wants to put another 42,000 up there, somebody's going to do it. I guess I'd just as soon it be an American as anybody else. But
well, yeah, man, but it's getting crowded. And look, I think the biggest concern for people, we don't talk politics here, but obviously the concern is that other nations around the world are putting up different type of satellites. And there's some things that are happening. One real quick is that a Russian satellite has been trailing and spying on one of our surveillance satellites that the NRO, National Reconnaissance Orbit, puts up there, office puts up there. And it's been tracking it and taking images of it, and some wonder, why is it doing that? And it changed its orbit to move and maneuver.
Oh.
And not to be paranoid, but the reality is, if there were ever, God forbid, serious wartime things going on this planet again, space is obviously another battlefield. Not that we like it, but all you'd have to do is to knock out so many of these important satellites. And the easiest way to do it, not to give anybody out there an idea to build one, is to use a kinetic kill vehicle, which is like slamming a giant piece of metal that you launch. You don't even have to have an explosive device. You just fire it like a big long rod of tungsten. And if you fire it into a spacecraft, it would just seemingly destroy it. And then what you have is another big problem. Not only do you have so many satellites orbiting the Earth, you obviously have so much debris in space, which is now another concern, too, because those particles, even the size of a fingernail, could be devastating as they might travel and hit things like the International Space Station and other valuable assets that the world has put up there, from your HBO satellites to your other satellites. It's getting crowded.
If we've learned anything from the movies, it's James Bond's Moonraker. It can be done.
Wow.
Maybe not so much.
Man,
you're absolutely right, guys. But it's an amazing story. But, you know, Rosie, it's a blessing. And I want to end off on this finally. I know what time we have left. But this February the 18th, we mark the 90th anniversary of Pluto and the discovery here at Flagstaff at the Lowell Observatory. And not to sound like I'm standing on a soapbox, but that was my professor in astronomy, Dr. Tombaugh. I always remembered him, and I always will remember him as this great guy that, you know, he came here to Arizona pretty much penniless. He didn't do it for the love of money, and he discovered that object, which is now designated as a dwarf. And back in that time period, that's still an amazing feat that someone could actually image an object. He spent thousands of hours in the freezing cold and in the heat of the summer night scanning the skies with the old way. You know, a lot of young people don't realize that when we had cameras, we had these big, giant photo plates that were the size of like a tablecloth. And they had to go out, not only observe all night and take the pictures, but they had to develop the stuff in the daytime.
And then track the images to find out which ones are moving. Yeah. Folks, Dr. Sky, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And folks,
if you
haven't been up to the space
Lowell Observatory
and just discover what that professor had to do to discover Pluto, it's a great family trip.
Dr. Sky, is it a planet or not a planet? Because it wasn't. What's the final?
I'm biased, Romy. It's always a planet to me, and we could spend time in the future discussing this. I do this in seminars. They demoted it to a dwarf, but it's got 5 attendant moons. That's a long story. Dr. Sky votes for it to be a planet.
All right. 42,000 satellites focused on you.